Blog Talk Radio.
They were formed from the first letter of the first name of the four members of the group. And, of course, that was Bjorn, Benny, Agnetha and Anna Freed. And so the group's name is an acronym for the first letters of their first names arranged as a palindrome. I didn't say that. It comes from Wikipedia, I promise. And they went on, of course, to win, God help me, the Eurovision Song Contest, which is, and that song was voted the most popular, best song in the competition's history, would you believe, in the 50th anniversary celebration. I know you're trying to think, what other songs did they have? Anyway. That's the case. Now, you'll get the idea in a tick to why I chose that song. There was a meaning behind it. Meanwhile, I have to go and say hello to everybody who's with me here on A Team of Voices on Blog Talk Radio. And you have bumped into our show. We're All Poets and allpoetry.com in A Team of Voices. We are sponsored by me. I'm A.P. Taylor. And I have with me none other than the head of the group, Deborah Lee. Hi, Deb. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
I am well. Thank you. Well. And I have none other than Wayne. How are you, Wayne?
I'm doing fine. Doing fine. Hey, hey. Been out in the yard working all day. I'm ready for a break.
No, well, good, good. Well, this is as much of a break as you're going to get, Wayne. So, Deb, welcome. And then we have none other than Raconteur. How are you going, Rack?
I'm good. If Deb's the head of the group, can I be the funny bone?
You are,
you can.
Right?
You can. You can. And you did. Now, did you like how we jumped back to the wonderful world of Waterloo?
Waterloo's really? Interesting, yes.
I like how you made a point of pointing out that it was a palindrome, just saying.
Oh, I thought that was kind of neat, Deb. I got to say, just quietly, I thought that was neat. But the reason I played the song, because you might remember a little bit ago that I obviously liked The Man from Snowy River, and I did a little rework of The Man from Snowy River on the show, and it was about mangoes. Anyway, go kill me. Meantime, in their lifetime, Banjo Paterson and Henry Lawson sort of took little pot shots at each other. They were both poets of repute. Henry Lawson sort of had a bit of a go at Banjo Paterson because he basically said, Sunshine, you're writing about the country, but you got nothing about the country. You're only there for 4 or 5 years. You've actually lived in the city for most of your life, and you sound like a city person, and you wouldn't know what to do on a property if it was thrown in front of you. And so given that, he wrote, with apologies to Banjo, The Man from Waterloo. And this was Henry Lawson back in 1896. And I'm going to read it first, if that's okay. It was the man from Waterloo, when work in town was slack, who took the track as bushmen do and humped his swag out back. He tramped for months without a bob, for most of the sheds were full, until at last he got a job at picking up the wool. He found the work was rather tough, but swore to see it through, for he was made of sterling stuff, the man from Waterloo. The first remark was like a stab that fell upon ear's ear upon. "'Twas, there's another something stab the boss has taken on. They couldn't let the townie be. They sneered like anything. They'd mock him when he sounded the G, in words that ending in. There came a man from Ironbark, and at the shed he shore, he scoffed his victuals like a shark, and like a fiend he swore. He'd shorn his flowing beard that day. He found it hard to reap, because 'twas hot and in the way, while he was shearing sheep. He loaded fork in grimy halt, was poised, his joys moved fast, impatient till his throat could bolt, the mouthful take him last. He couldn't stand a something tough, much less a jackaroo, and swore to take the trimmings off. The man from Waterloo. The town he saw, he must be underneath, and so one day before them all, he dared to clean his teeth. The men came running from the shed and shouted, here's a lark. He's gone to clear his tooties, said the man from Ironbark. His feeble joke was much enjoyed. He sneered as bullies do, and with a scrubbing brush he guyed the man from Waterloo. The jackaroo made no remark, but peeled and waded in, and soon the man from Ironbark had 3 at least teeth to grin. And when they knew he could fight, they swore to see him through, because they saw he was right, the man from Waterloo. Now, in a shop in Sydney near the bottle on the shelf, the tailor sold the trimmings by the jackaroo himself. They made my life a hell, he said. They wouldn't let me be. They set the bully of the shed to take it out of me. The dirt was on him like a sheath. He seldom washed his fizz. He sneered because I cleaned my teeth. I guess they dusted his. I treated them as they deserved. I signed on 1 or 2. They won't forget me soon, observed the man from Waterloo. End poem. So that was Henry telling Paterson that unless he had a good cross right, he'd find it pretty hard going out and doing some work on the sheds and the castery. And so that's where we started. That was the man from Waterloo. I understand that was where Banjo Paterson's law firm was in Sydney, in the suburb of Waterloo, just south of Sydney, and that's why he called it the man from Waterloo. So there you go, a little bit of history, as you do. Deb, what did you think of that?
I really liked it. I liked the wit that was in there.
Yeah.
But a kick out of the ones, not only that the two of them write back and forth and then add stuff to the title, like My Forgiveness to Banjo or stuff like that. I also got a kick out of the fact that when you channel Banjo Patterson, you put My Apologies to Banjo Patterson. So I like how you have all these centuries later brought yourself into that little game that those poets had of writing from and towards each other. And
It's kind of fun.
And you got to give him credit because both of them, they have flawless rhyme and flow, and they were such great poets. And I want to note that we did try to use a link from All Poetry, and it wouldn't work. It was giving us an error code. So I put in a ticket, and hopefully he'll fix it. But, yeah, it was a very, very clever poem.
Oh, I thought it was, dear, but I was very excited by it. Anyway, there you go. There's probably 0.2% of the world who would have been excited about finding that poem, and I was in that 0.2%. So, meantime, I am going to go, Wayne, and grab your SoundCloud.
Okay. This SoundCloud, this is a Halloween poem, and it has to do with JCA. JCA is joining us. So it's about JCA when he was going to have a show on a graveyard one night during Halloween. The weather got too bad, couldn't do it. So I wrote a poem about it. This is about JCA having a show on the graveyard on Halloween.
Okay, righto. Well, let me
enjoy it.
Firstly, put the link up on the board for you. Just we'll put the link. And of course, this is an open poetry show, so you can put whatever you damn well like, you know. And every second week, Wayne, we're going to have something along those lines. We're going to have a open poetry show, and then we're going to have a show with a theme on it. And so, you know, what that means is every week, at the end of the week, there'll always be a show that's an open poetry show on a team of voices. Whether it's Linda or whether it's us, doesn't matter. There'll always be, at the end of the week, a chance to put an open poetry show and put whatever you like. Okay? That's what we're doing.
Good.
That makes sense.
Wanted to note, AP, Linda does the second and third, and we have the first and fourth of every month.
There you go.
Saturday, not the date. The first Saturday, then the second Friday, then the third Friday, and then the fourth Saturday.
So basically, as I said, whether it's Linda, whether it's us, you know, whether it's Friday, whether it's Saturday, there'll be an open poetry show that you can put poems into each week of the month. So that's the good thing about what we're going to do. Okie dokie. So, Wayne, I'm going to play your poem now, and here is the sample.
All right.
This poem is called Sure, Come On Over. Have a friend coming over after dark. He thinks that my home is some kind of park. Yeah, it's neat with large shady trees. I run around and do what I please. He is coming here to put on a show. Before he leaves, he will know. It's my birthday. I hope he doesn't sing, but a present he could bring. Invited the shadows. I hope he don't care. On Halloween, they can give a scare. Two of my friends I like most, maybe he won't mind that they're ghosts. Better get ready, he'll be here soon. Then we can all howl at the moon. I'm going to get dressed up in my best. Then he'll let me be his radio guest. When the show is over, happy he'll feel. Plan on making him our next meal. Can hear him now, the things he'll say. I'll be laughing while I'm butchering JCA. He has courage. I hope he's brave. Broadcasting a show on top of my grave. When he's through, say his last goodbye. And then his ass, I'm gonna fry. My birthday party will be lots of fun. Laughter and cheer. That is except for one. We'll all toast and drink our wine. and then bury JCA in the grave next to mine. Here he comes, wearing a big smile. He doesn't know that he'll be dead in a while. Hey, JCA, how do you like my home?
Ha, 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 ha. Yes, no, I enjoyed that quite a lot. And that was clearly you reading your piece. It certainly seemed to be aimed at one JCA, and it looked like he may not have got out in the same state that he started. So that's kind of fun. Raconteur, what did you think of Mr. James?
I don't know if rump roast is the choice cut that I would have chosen, but, you know, if you're going to do them up, you know, you have to plan these things in advance. So that was very smart. You know, you already had your plan of attack thought up, and you know, dancing on your grave and your friends being ghosts and things like that. Lovely touches. You know, my mind loves to latch onto the foodie aspects of things all the time. And now that we've got ghosts and spirits cooking, you know, spirits are a great accompaniment to anything that you're going to cook. So, I think that was a lovely. I think that was a great choice, and you know, you certainly picked probably the biggest cut. Never mind. I don't know. it was a cute poem, and you know, you managed to kill him without butchering him. So, good deal.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Rack.
Thank you very much, Rack, and. Did you want to say a few words about Wayne's poem?
I do, yeah. You know, if you thumb through his pages, you'll notice that he bumped off quite a few people in the time I've known him. you have me cracking up, Wayne, and it got me to thinking that if Raconteur is one of the funny bones in A Team of Voices Radio, then you're the other. So it's nice to be hanging out with both funny bones on the same night. Really cool poem and a great presentation.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Well done, Wayne. Okie doke. So I have now put up on the board a piece by Frank, by Poetic Picasso. Nice to have Frank putting a piece up on the board. I'm going to read this. I'm going to do my best, Frank, because this is... Norse mythology, and you know you're in trouble as a reader when you've got a glossary down the bottom, and when the glossary goes to about 30 words, you think to yourself, aha, well, this is going to be a bit of fun. So if I know it, I know it. If I don't know, I'll make it up. This is The Steeds of the Eyes, and it goes a little bit like this. O ye the Athel Hethels, striding forth until the fields of the lore of Saga's Whist, whither the swords of the men of Doubt bear the shields of Midgard in the mist. Behold the hills of the shadows at the mouth of the underworld of the Dragoor, whence the blazing breath of death beset the doomed souls of the Hagur. Their sackless shrills of swartened Stevens unleashed their gruer drowning woes, the wrathful waste that it released, the sweet beer onto their feather-fold foes. Awakened by the thrill of the smell of the fresh flesh of Norsemen, the wrath reapers dreamt by the bands of the killed kroonsmen. A roar of thunder overwhelmed the men standing amidst the deadly dusk of pain. A thousand dragoors swept like a mad maelstrom of swift might and main. Pouring rain drenched the mails of the Norsemen and shields from the lightning, as manifold had died slayed in the struggle of the spear in fighting. Their startling screams and cringing cries were heard by the Valkyries of Orlais, who came along with the seers for the fallen ones to take them away. As the sorrowful slays were ride in the stench of bursting blood wrought, till the first until the half
where their bones were buried in the grist of a sort. Beyond the Valgrid into the Gold Gates, to the Valhalla above the Shade Nether, the tales of the Norsemen live on in the sundry spells of the lasting Siddur, and etched runes be written of aforetime of the gods of Asgard and Vanir nigh. Odin, Freakoth, Thode, Val, riding on the steeds of Bifrost above the clouds high. For them the tales of the Norsemen, the Star men did not wither, with the Elder Tither. End poem. Or something like that, Frank. Now, Deb. Mythology.
Well, for starters, I think he did a really great job commanding it's not a language, it's a tone, like, oh ye, the time period, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Old world words type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And his details are exceptional, too. I see that he won a gold award for it. And I like their startling screams and cringing cries were heard by the Valkyries of Orle. And there was something else with the scream back a little further. Their sackless shrills of Swartened Stevens unleash their roarer drowning woes, that wrathful waif that had released the swithe birth. The swithe burr onto their fell foe. See, you did an excellent job reading it. I'm going to shut up now because I'm butchering it, just trying to comment, but it's an excellent period piece.
I'm feeling better about the read already, Dad. Thank you. Wayne, what did you think of Frank's piece?
It's a masterpiece. I don't know, this is a masterpiece of a poem. Wonderful story. He wrote a little story written in a magical way. I'm blown away at the way it was written and how professional the poem is. It should be somewhere and hung up for everybody to read. It's an excellent poem, top of the line. I like it a whole lot. One of the best.
Yeah. No, thanks. Look, and Frank is an expert at the history of poems and particularly the use of older languages. He's a language expert, so he knows it backwards and forwards. Rat, what did you think of the piece?
I think there's a reason why that language went out of favor. You kind of got to be drunk and partying to begin to entertain using it. You did an excellent job reading it, AP. I wonder how many pints you're in. An excellent read. Sometimes it gets confusing, and the thing about pieces like that for me, sometimes you tend to fade in and out. It's like you start using it, and then you slip out of it, and then you slip back into it.
Yeah.
And I think that takes away from the piece a lot. But he did a good job integrating it, like you said. Since you just mentioned his name these days, you could hear his voice in the back of your head almost, which is kind of odd.
Yes.
Because
yes.
With you reading it, it's like so now I've got this Australian filter over a Frank, it still works. So you could imagine what was going through my mind, but he told a good story, and they were notorious partiers, so I really enjoyed that aspect of it too. Obviously he won the gold, so he did something right, huh? Excellent piece, Frank.
Yeah, you got it. So, I am going to put your piece up on the board next, Rack. And we have a SoundCloud for your piece, so I'm going to put that up on the board now. So this is Forever by Rack and Tour. And then I'm going to go to the studio, and I am going to play your SoundCloud. So here we go now, Rack.
Forever by Raconteur. Forever's all there is, our memories will always last. Forever's all there was, haunted by a livid past. Forever's what was said to me, God, time flew by so fast. Our future was forever. I wanted it to last. The growing hope forever. Till now the die was cast. Distance grown far too vast. And now I stand alone, aghast. Together we were in each endeavor, except the thought, the concept, forever. So believe in forever, in ties you cannot sever, and dream about the morrow, for that's what there is to come. Believe in our future, else there will be none. End poem.
Now, that's a very interesting little tied together piece. I actually like the little diagram there. I think that's really funky because that's sort of basically what you've just written. You've sort of written something that ties together but has a loose end, really. And that loose end is that forever is meaningful to one and not the other, and it's not meaningful to both, then you have the loose end. So I actually thought it's a clever play on words and very cleverly put together, right? I am now going to go to Deb to get a comment.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, I remember this one, Rack, and the emotion was powerful then, and it was really powerful now. And I had wrote at the time, amazing brevity, and the closing couplet is powerful and direct and filled with truth. And I said more, but you said, thank you, and it's a pet peeve of mine how some people feel that the concept of forever is open to interpretation. And I feel you. It's like, you know, I know that sometimes it doesn't work out that way, but it sure rips your heart out when it doesn't, because here you are thinking that, you know, it was forever, and it's not, and it's a gut punch. But, yeah, I never looked at it as someone's pet peeve before, but, it, you know, it's totally understandable. Great share.
Thanks, Tebs.
And Wayne, did you want to say a few words about Rackford?
This is a sad poem about love lost, and I, this one kind of relates to me because my marriage would last forever. It was 43 years when she decided to leave and take everything, in her words. So it's kind of, and it just hits you off guard, and you kind of leave a bit of holding life because you never saw it coming. So this is a sad poem, and it hits home hard with me, and I like it a whole lot, but it's just pretty emotional. Good job.
Thanks, Wayne.
Did you just say after 43 years? Wow.
Yeah, it's a long story, but she took up with everything.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I'm sorry to
say
that.
Wow.
Just part of life.
Oh. Well. This, I guess, but, you know, you'd rather not have it if you didn't have to, Wayne. Okie doke. Now, Deb, we got a poem by Pretty Bird put on board, and we did get a SoundCloud, but there's nothing with it. That's what we found, wasn't it?
Yeah, actually, there was nothing with that, and then she had a different clip, but that one asked me for a password. So I reached out. We are speaking in the inbox, and I asked her if she could either load it into the studio herself since she's not up to the call. Otherwise, you know, we would just get you to read it, and I'm just waiting for her response. So if you want to let that one go for a moment.
Oh, okay. If that's okay, then, if we're waiting to hear back, I might put the poem that I wrote up on the board.
Sounds like a plan.
I'm just going to put some forwards. My reads and other reads, or in fact, let's go to the first poem we have put up there by Lawrence 67, and I'll read that poem. Let's do that. That's one way of getting around this. So let me put that up on the board, and thank you to Lawrence for sending that in. So this is, and Lawrence often does these little sort of vignettes, for want of a better word. And this is one of those, a little conversation. And this is Nigel the Fat Cat's theme song, The Adventures of Nigel the Fat Cat and his homie Alfie, which I'm going to read. And it goes a little bit like this. This is my song that I'm going to sing. You'll sing the chorus. It goes ding-a-ling. I'm Nigel the Fat Cat.
numb bad to the bone. Don't you know that mate never caught a mouse because they're friends of mine? When I'm a struggling with stuff down the alleyways, I'll be looking for a fight because I don't play. Now you'll sing, I'm a what, you're a ding-a-ling, I'm a what, you're a ding-a-ling, yeah. And here's my homie. His name, he's going to sing. But first, he's going to pee. Your turn, Alfie's what, he's a ding-a-ling. Say what, he's a ding-a-ling, oh yeah. And that's my song. Thank you all for singing along. Now everybody sing, we is what? We is ding-a-lings, you what? We is ding-a-lings, yes you is. We is ding-a-lings. And end song. Thank you. Thank you. Nigel's left the building. End poem. Just got to go with the rhythm. I took slight pause, particularly the P-A-W-S, to be a pause. So that wasn't the case. Sorry. Rap and tour. What did you think of that little piece?
Oh, I appreciate your pause for effect. You know, when he does these things, sometimes they strike a chord. There was a song a long time ago called My Ding-a-Ling. So for him to kind of choose that or a variation of that, because he's got Bad to the Bone thrown in there too. So he's got my brain short-circuiting in 12 different ways. But, you know, the conversation between the two of them and the theme song, the idea of it, it's so befitting. And, you know, how, asking everybody to sing along, it feels like, you know, okay, so it's Lawrence show, and here we go. Sing along, and you know, it's a party. And it's always a party when Lawrence brings out, Lawrence and Alfie are hanging out.
Thank you, Rex. And Mr. Weingent, what did you think?
Oh, it's another classic by Lawrence. He's always got something that kind of interesting and fun to read. Him and Alfie and Nigel. Last time we had a poem about Ed, Nigel and Alfie talking to each other, and the two of us read a poem. We had a book for it together, taking turns on who's saying what. He's always got a good little skit going on, and he's a good comedian. I like him a whole lot.
Yeah, no, excellent. No, great comment. Thanks, Wayne. And Deb, what did you think?
You know, I think that he's really clever. He has these three characters, you know, Nigel, Fat Cat, and his homie Alfie, and they have been through a lot. And if you think of it from a far off spectrum, from Dave Prophet and his dark mother, and all the adventures that they had, and that's usually scientific and intricate and loved, full of love. Where Lawrence is, he takes these on. These really comical adventures, and it's just as fun to hear his poems as it is to be his reader. And like I have to, when JCA reads for him, he does these voices. So it's like these are epic, these little skits that he does. And you know, personally, I don't know if it's because I'm a Gemini, but I don't know if I could carry on the characters for so long because I would get like bored with myself. But he does such a clever job of bringing more and different and fun. Appreciate the support for the shows.
Yeah, I think the great thing, Deb, if you've got an open poetry show, you want sort of light and shade and somewhere in between, and it's great to have the differences and you know, so appreciate Lawrence 67 going and putting his piece in. Now, I am going to go to the videotape, and because we've got a piece from Phil the Poet, and I'm going to put that on the board and then get his SoundCloud going. So bear with me one tick. So that's up on the board now, and I'm going to play his SoundCloud now.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called When the Poetry Ends. When the poetry ends, the lanterns go out, the pages become yellow, and the leaves turn. All inspiration dies with a whimper and not a shout. The paper crumbles at the heat of a bonfire fern. Lost hope in poetic pages that will never be read. A dry inkwell full of stubborn stains of failed ideas, formulates words that deceive and full of dread, confronting all the poet's doubts and constant fears. The longing for a word in season to ripen the heart is like waiting for the rain to baptize the barren land, trying to mend shattered glass from a tiny part, writing in a straight line with a swollen hand, reaching out, desperately grasping for something to put down in words the way a poet really feels, wondering what the next day, the next hour, may bring, knowing that our words can hurt as well as heal. End poem.
Well, thank you, Bill. You're always supporter of the show, and you always manage to use rhyme to tell a story and an interesting story at that. Rack, did you want to say a few words about Phil the Poet?
It's very enjoyable, Phil. You know, I love the concept of time and writing, and, you know, that last verse in particular, when you say words can heal as well as hurt, you know, sometimes people forget that. But, you know, the concept even just leading up to that you bring about of, you know, our words being lost to time, you know, written and turning to dust and things like that, all of that goes through our minds, I think, when we write down, you know, we chronicle our own adventures in a way, whether we're talking, you know, fact or whatever. So it's a little self-reflective on top of everything else. And I love pieces like that. It really makes you think, and you know, it's got some great, brings out some great feelings. Lovely piece, Phil.
Thank you, Rat. A great comment. And Mr. Wynjet, what did you think of
Phil always has something established. Last time he dove into comedy, this time he's into poetry and poets. And it's sad, and it says how sad it'll be for lost poets to be sad. And I fall right in there when the category he's talking about, how sad that'd be, because without poetry, it's like we strange, and we have that way to vent ourselves. And so I can't imagine the world without poetry. So it hits home pretty good. Good job there, Phil.
Thank you, and great comment, Wayne. And Deb, what did you think of the piece by Phil the Poet?
I agree with everyone. He has a way of telling a story, but just the title is like, oh no, you know, when the poetry ends and you just don't think of it as ending, it's an outlet, though it can't end. So right away it was like, oh no. And I like how he relates it to when the lanterns go out. Lost hope is in poetic pages that will never be read, a dry inkwell full of stubborn stains of failed ideas. It's like, the one that gets me the most, though, reaching out, desperately grasping for something to put down in words the way the poet really feels, wondering what the next day, the next hour may bring, knowing that our words can hurt as well as heal. And there's so much truth there, because there's been a lot of times where there's been, sadly, anger between different poets, and they used it as a battlefield, and some of the stuff that came out of that was so hurtful. And then there's beautiful poems where we express things that just make people smile and make them feel better and uplift them, and that's just the power of poetry, be it for the good or bad, and just the thought of it ending in either case is terribly sad.
That's a great comment. Thank you, Deb, and for supporting the show and putting in a piece. Now, I'm going to check in with you, Deb, if we had any further movement at the station, so to speak, with Pretty Bird.
Coming in as you speak. Let me see here. It says she was trying to add it in. I don't mind if it's red. She could not get it in from her phone, and she does normally
right.
prefer that it's used with the audio, but she does not mind at all if you read it.
Okay. Well, I reckon in that circumstance, I might read it, yeah? Bear with me. I am going to pick your palm up, pretty bird, and put it on the board. And this is where I hope I don't make a mistake. No pressure. So I am now putting it on the board. And thank you, too, for putting your piece into the Open Poetry Night. This is a piece called Absolute Love by Pretty Bird. And it goes a little bit like this. You ask me how I can love you, you who is broken and limping and lame. I stop you before the tear can fall, taking them from your eyes and crying them out of my own. I tell you the truth of absolute love. I tell you I wear no blinders. I see you as you are. I see your imperfections, but we are all flawed. Those minute cracks in your soul trickle out pain in swirling hues of tender that highlight your heart. A heart you profess is black and stone, but it beats strong within my chest, where I will nurture it and feed it with my own. I see all the nicks and bruises and breaks, reasons to walk away. They are the very thing that makes you worthy, your damage healed in strength. You are not broken. You are beautiful in all things, a tender heart that bleeds for others, that hates you for not being better for me. Don't you know, can't you see, there is no better. You are as good as it gets. It is I who is unworthy. And in all your fear of being alone, you overlook the truth of who you are, of who I am when I am with you. You see beauty in every corner of derelict. You fill my cracks with your joy to the point where you feel you run out, not even knowing you gave it away. You see in me what I am unable to see in myself. And because it is you who sees it, I believe you. I see your cracks and spackle them with love. I see the scars and I'm thankful you survived the journey. And tomorrow or next week, next month or next year, when you have grown strong in my love, when the time comes that you realize I am naught but pieces duct taped together, I will still love you. When you see the truth of what I have always known, I will still love you. When you move on to brighter days and greener pastures, I will still love you. When you see that you are worthy of more than I am able to give you, I will still love you as I do now. For I never learned how to unlove someone, and you have always been worthy. End poem.
Yep. I don't think there's much that she writes that you're not feeling by the time it's over. This one's on one of my lists.
Look, I really like this poem. Because it's talking about taking somebody inside you for all of what is good and what is all imperfect about that person and realizing that the imperfections are in the weakness of the imperfections, when they heal, it is stronger. And that is both important and it is also a way that you can see inside a person that you can't otherwise do. So it's a a wonderful piece of writing. You know Pretty Bird's writing very, very well, Raph. What did you think of this particular poem?
You know, there's a brilliance to this. When you talk about, it's not so much. See, it sounds like she's talking about someone specifically, but she's going beyond that. She's talking about the feeling itself. It may apply to this specific person, but it's not just to this person. It's the rules that surround it that make it something. And you know, she's also touching on in the Japanese. I think I researched it a couple of times, and I keep coming. I think it's Kintsukuri, where you know that beautiful for
yep.
having been broken. You know that
yep.
I also falls
yep.
into it. But you know, when you're talking about loving someone, you know, and the idea of flaws and all, quote unquote, you know, that's what makes it beautiful. It's like it's not conditional; it's absolute love. So you know, and
yes.
you know, maybe she was inspired about someone specifically, but that's not what she's talking about. The person specifically, she's talking about the emotion behind that love. So it's a little misleading in that regard, but at the same time.
Yeah,
it's warm and familiar, and I think that's what makes it so beautiful. Because
yeah.
some people
yeah.
are fortunate enough to have that in their lives more than once, and some people aren't. But
yeah.
but you know, and you know what I think is funny is you know we've all got history. We've been you know alive before
yeah.
we were ever on AP. We wrote before we ever saw AP, and it's like you know.
Yeah.
But now you come along and like you'll write a piece AP, and then someone will go, oh, you wrote that about Deb. And it'd be like, you know, no, I actually wrote
yes.
that 20 years ago before I ever knew Deb.
Yes.
But you know, it sounds like
yep.
it applies to Deb because you wrote about the emotion in that way. So it's like,
yes.
you know, well, you
yes.
see that, you may see that relationship or that feeling in there because that's the feeling that is in there, but it wasn't specific. She wasn't the muse in this instance. So I love thoughts like that. It takes you away
yep.
to so many, such a beautiful place. And I'll shut up now.
No.
I'm sorry.
No. Right? No. And Kintsukuri or Kintsugai. Same thing.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Mr. Wayne Gent, what did you think of Pretty Bird's piece?
I think it was a great testimony about the absolute love for her partner. The words spoke so loving that it gave me chill
yep.
bumps as reading it. I've always told people that I don't turn love on and off, and like she said in her poem, love is something that lasts forever, and regardless of the flaws. Love is never ending in my eyes. Pretty Bird is an angel in her heart. She does a great job of this poem, man. I like it a whole lot. Good job, Pretty Bird.
Yeah, indeed. Oh, really, really great poem, and a pleasure to read Pretty Bird. And you had to put up with the Australian accent, so I'm sure you'll miss a few times, but it's okay. We got through. Now, Deb, I'm going to read my poem next, then get you to read yours, and then I'll finish with the other famous poem. How's that?
Perfect.
Okay. So this was actually a poem that I did for Pretty Bird, but I'm hoping that we'll get a chance to do a sort of scary show a bit later on. But this was her show was going to be about ghosts and whether they were real or not. This is Past Shadows by me, and it goes a little bit like this. Frail the lime green grass upon frost, fog a layer thick on his moor strolled. Through with my heavy coat I crossed, on death, these family lands now sold. To neighbours known for 3 decades, few gates to add and all would be theirs. With the remaining stock and hay trade on a path we had trod before in Chiles. Then felt the mists part and heard the press from the soft pad of rubber boots near bound. And I knew he had returned to this address here one more time in his presence found. Saw a reflection upon the grass's tattered collar folded up, an old tartan hat with coats. I knew he was there as my teeth chattered, so I slowed, and within his realm did I float. On golden wisps flowing, he sang as past, holding tight to beams the first of sun rays. There was a warming and comfort so cast that my cold dissolved along with the graves. Then I knew that my grandfather had gone, carried in heat fierce over hedges he veered. His spirit and joy again one morning shone, showing me a path. Past shadows I steered in pond. Right, Deb, let loose. What do you think of this?
I know, right? It still gives me the chills. The thought of the mist that filled the area, the soft padding of his boots that are near, the way you had to have felt to feel him there, and again the reflection in the grass as if it was like pressed down by him. And like I said, to me, I knew he was there as my teeth chattered, so I slowed, and within his realm, I did float. And it was just like you can feel, you just know. My teeth would be chattering from getting chills and the goosebumps from it. At golden wisps following, he sang his past, holding tight to beams, the first of sun rays. I mean, it's just the visuals are very otherworldly, and I knew that my grandfather had gone, carried in heat fierce over hedges he beared, but the feeling of him leaving again is just like you said, you know they're there, and then you know they're gone, and you want to see them, you want to hug them, you want to talk to them for a moment, but you just have to sit there and bask in the joy of the fact that they visited you at all. And it's an absolutely stunning piece. And I told you, it was my new favorite by you. Love it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Wayne, what did you think of my little ghost story?
Well, I think it's a wonderful poem of your grandfather and the place he lived. And that belongs to your neighbor, or that belongs to the neighbor. Feelings towards your grandfather are admirable. You show a lot of love for your grandfather, and kind of a loving poem with reminiscing about the past, and him showing up and giving one last goodbye. It's a good poem. It's just a touching poem, and you did a great job with this. I love it.
And Mr. Reckonsall, what did you think of this one?
Yeah, I really like this a lot, AP. You know, there's that line between memories and emotions and things that you can't see, but you want to personify or quantify. So sometimes you'll get those goosebumps and you'll swear that it's someone breathing on your neck, and you know, it makes you wonder if well maybe it could be, you know somebody that presence that you know, again, I can't see it but I can feel it, so which is the thing that makes it real to you, you know, and then it goes back to the memory of it. So I love how you tied all that together into this type of ghost story. This is really wonderful.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you. I really like that poem. I don't often write a poem and then say I better, you know, call somebody up and read it, but I did with that one. So there you go.
Yeah.
Now, Deb, I have your poem up on the board, which is Be a Guide Leading Others Out from the Darkness.
All right. Thank you. And this was written to a quote by Abraham Lincoln. The quote, "No personal significance or insignificance can spare one or another of us. The fiery trail through which we pass will light us down in honor or dishonor to the latest generation." And I put, "Be a guide leading others out of the darkness," and here we go. I see myself curled in a fetal ball, weeping, blending into the woodwork and camouflaged by the shadows. Cobwebs dangle off the strands of my dark brown hair, with dust bunny clumps stuck in the silk web threads. You labeled me worthless, flipping my smile and blacking out the light, leaving my eyes dim. My eyes spy myself in the wall mirror, mocking me and shocking me into motion. footsteps carry me out of the darkness, and the footprints I leave a trail into sunlight. Follow me down that trail. Seek the light as the rays warm skin, and leave the darkness for yourself and for those walking down the path after you. End quote.
Interesting. And free verse and all that stuff. And I have been having some trouble with dates on the site there, but I don't know if you noticed that this has actually been written in August 25. So I hope you got that lotto ticket and have sort of got that sort of sorted. But yeah,
wow.
That sense of being and that sense of history and the sense of being looking at yourself in the mirror and recognizing what's there is I think very powerful themes, all of them, to write about. And I love the last stand, to stand up for yourself and for those walking down the path after you. There's something very powerful about that. Rack, did you want to say a few words?
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's, you know, you open up with something that's very heart-wrenching, you know, and Phil specifically mentioned it about, you know, how words can hurt as well as heal. You know, we've all got our feelings about ourselves, our self-worth, and sometimes when someone looks at you, you make the mistake of seeing yourself through their eyes instead of, you know, through your own. And when you do that, you risk being, you know, misinterpreted. And it can really cut you down because, you know, if they're looking at you critically or if they're looking at you in a way that's, you know, unkind, unfavorable, or even, you know, untrue. And it will reduce you to that ball that you're talking about and just, you know, totally devastate you. And you capture that wonderfully in the beginning, the image of being in just that word in the fetal position. You know, it's like you go back to when just before you were born, you know, and you're safe and you're curled in that ball and everything. It's a safety spot. But, you know, and you can't get beyond that sometimes. You're forced to kind of seek shelter because of what's getting thrown at you or what's being saddled on you. And, you know, it's very easy to go the other direction. And rather than tear someone down, you can build them up. And you know, that I think was kind of the point of what you said to the quote about, you know, choosing to be a light. And you know, helping somebody out of something like that, you know, dealing with it just on your own is horrible enough. But you know, if you're able to grab onto somebody that's in that position and help them out of it, you know, that's kind of a really truly amazing thing. So that makes this a very layered and emotional piece for me. I liked it a lot.
Thank you so much, Rackentor.
Thank you, Rack.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. Great comment. And Wayne, what did you think of the editor's piece?
This is a wonderful poem about picking up the pieces when someone has destroyed your soul. The poem went from being down and out to an uplifting ending, standing your ground and believing in yourself and getting back on the right track. It's a great poem you did, and I like the way it ended. A lot better than the way it started. It's a good job, good poem. And I like it a whole lot.
Thank you very much, Wayne.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, and AP, I just wanted to get a couple others. It seems he has switched it from the month and year to the month and day. Just saying.
Oh, good look. Okay, excellent. Okay, so great job, Deb. Did you want to talk about what's coming up on A Team of Voices, and I'll read the final poem?
Absolutely, yeah. On Monday at 10, my show, it's Personal Prompt Monday, and I have a bunch of dark art to choose from. You scroll through wherever the art takes you is what I'd like to hear. And again, that's 10 p.m. And then on Wednesday night at 8 p.m., Storyboards with Sky Darkholm. She's doing The Haunting of Hill House It was a mini series on TV, and it's one of those where you can choose any aspect of the movie, a character, or quotes, and take it. It doesn't have to be about the movie if you choose a quote. Whatever that quote says to you is what Sky likes to hear. And, again, mm-hmm. that's Wednesday at 8. And then on Thursday at 10, my sweet pea will be back for Sweet Discussions. And she has a list of really cool English, old English words that are not really used anymore. And she gave you the crazy word and the definition. I'll just do one, the word grope. And that is someone who stares at you when you're eating and hoping you'll share, which I'd never heard before, but I know those people. So anyway, you read the crazy words and the definitions and wherever it takes you. Sweet Pea would be interested in hearing that from you. And again, that is Thursday at 10. And that brings us to Open Poetry again, but this week with Linda at 10 p.m. on Friday. And that's
cool.
The next few days.
Excellent. Well done. Thank you. Okie doke. And my thanks to Wayne, who's just dropped, for being with us for the whole show. Of course, Deb, and to Rack. And I'd like to thank all of the poets who dropped poems into the show. Pretty Bird and Poetic Picasso and I'm trying to think of all the people now that I won't be able to remember because we had so many of them. But
Phil the Poet. Lawrence.
Phil the Poet, that's right. Lawrence, that's right.
And I thought there was one more. No, that might be it. Frank, Pretty Bird, Lawrence, Phil.
I think that was it.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes, with Frank
sir. And
with Wayne, I think we're right.
You managed to still fit that in and just a little teeny bit over the hour. Bravo.
Wasn't too bad. So we have one more poem. And this is, and thanks for Wayne for being there with us, and he did have to run. This is On a Honeybee by the poet Philip Morin Freneau, who was a American poet, nationalist, polemicist, sea captain, an early American newspaper editor. He had the National Gazette. So there you go. Wasn't too much that he didn't do. He did get to the age of 80, despite being on an independent privateer that got caught by the British, and which almost killed him in jail, but he got through it. In the meantime, he wrote political poems, and he wrote about nature. This is one about nature. This is On a Honeybee, and it goes a little bit like this. Thou born to sip the lake or spring or quaff the waters of the stream, why hither come on vagrant wing? Does Bacchus tempting seem? Did he for you the glass prepare? Will I admit you to a share? Did storms harassed or foes perplexed? Did wasps or kingbirds bring dismay? Did wars distress or labours vex? Or did you miss your way? A better seat you could not take than on the margin of this lake. Welcome, I have you to my glass, or welcome here you find. Here let the cloud of trouble pass, here be all care resigned. This fluid never fails to please and drown the griefs of man or beasts. What forced you here we cannot know, and you will scarcely tell, but cheery we would have you go, and bitter glad farewell. On lighter wings we bid you fly, your dark will now all foes defy. Yet not, take not, oh, too deep a drink, in the oceans die. Here bigger bees than you might sink, even bees will 6 feet high. Like Pharaoh then, you would be said to perish in a sea of red. Do as you please, your will is mine, enjoy it without fear. When your grave will be this glass of wine, your epitaph a tear. Go take your seat in Sharon's boat, we'll tell the hive, you died afloat. End poem.
Pretty cool poem.
That was fun.
I figured his poem went
like that
very well with the rhyme and flow of an easy read. And
yes.
I like the fact that It was a all hell bees type of thing. And the end is freaky, don't you think?
Yeah. ABABCC. Very nice. Very nice. It's always a good... Always love it when you do the ABAB rhyme. It's a bit of fun. So, we have got to the end of the show. Now, next week, Deb, is Hatter's Quote, isn't it, for next week? So we have a theme for next week.
The Last Crystal Ball.
The Last Crystal Ball. Well, it does feel like you're doing a, you know, if you're working Saturday night, you're working 8 days a week. So here come the Beatles with 8 days a week. Thanks, Rack. Thanks, Deb. It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
And
great
we'll
show.
Catch you this time next week. Okay. Talk soon.
Night,
thank
guys.
You. Until then, have a great week, and we will catch you then. Bye, everybody.
Great show, AP. Some respect, everyone.
See you soon.